This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Marilyn Gleason. LiftUp has hired a new executive director. The nonprofit operator of food pantries and supplementary food programs from Parachute to Aspen has been without a permanent director for almost a year. Elise Hoddle has served as the organization's interim executive director on a contract basis since January. In August, LiftUp announced it was closing thrift stores it operated in Rifle and Parachute, which had seen shrinking revenues, and selling the commercial buildings. The Parachute store closed August 16th, and the Rifle location closed at the end of August. The decision was made in order to direct more resources toward food assistance and to help reduce debt and bring its assets in line with its mission. LiftUp operates 5 brick-and-mortar food pantries and a mobile pantry, serving more than 5,000 area residents. LiftUp also hosts community soup kitchens in partnership with churches in Glenwood Springs and Rifle. It provides 2,000 emergency food bags a year to families and individuals in crisis, distributes holiday meals, senior food boxes, free diapers, and other support to those in need. Colorado is suing the Trump administration over its actions to stall funding for EV infrastructure. Attorney General Phil Weiser is part of a 16-state coalition that filed a lawsuit on Tuesday. It claims the Department of Transportation is breaking the law by refusing to approve any new funding under EV programs set up in the bipartisan infrastructure law. Those programs were created to build and repair EV chargers and develop new technology. There's been no new funding committed since the spring. Colorado State University is still waiting on millions of dollars in previously awarded funding to build hydrogen fueling stations. An initiative to increase penalties for possessing and dealing the opioid fentanyl will officially appear on the Colorado ballot next November. The Secretary of State's office announced Tuesday that supporters of the ballot measure submitted the required number of signatures. Conservative nonprofit Advance Colorado is behind the initiative. Supporters say it would help curb the spread of fentanyl and prevent deadly overdoses. Critics, including substance use disorder advocates, argue harsher penalties haven't worked in the past. They say that approach criminalizes people suffering from addiction rather than those responsible for distributing the drug. Governor Jared Polis signed an executive order this week aimed at curbing a mountain pine beetle outbreak in Ponderosa Forest along the Front Range. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
Polis says the infestation is in the beginning stages, but will be visible along U.S. Highway 285 and the I-70 corridor. He attributes the outbreak to drought and a warming climate. He says a recent briefing left him alarmed by how much the outbreak is expected to spread.
Most or nearly all mature ponderosa pines will be killed by pine beetles in the Western Front Range over the next several years. So it's already started.
Polis says it's a risk for wildfires, water quality, recreation, and the economy. He's appointed a task force to try to use the best science and coordinate a response with private and public landowners.
That was Benta Berkland with the Colorado Capital News Alliance. For author Michael Bourne, a stint writing for his daily newspaper in Aspen served as a sort of boot camp. His new book, We Bring You an Hour of Darkness, harkens back to his days at the Aspen Daily News. It's a mystery, inspired in part by a real-life 1998 arson at the Vail Ski Resort, starring eco-terrorists, greedy developers, and intrepid reporters. On a recent book tour through Colorado ski towns, Michael Bourne talked to KDNK's Chris Hassig about the book.
Well, yeah, this is my first time back in the Roaring Fork Valley in 33 years. I was a reporter at the Daily News in Aspen from 1989 to 1992, and I'm back here for the first time to promote my book, which is, yeah, set in a fictional Colorado ski town. Though, as a number of Aspenites have already told me, there are some things that people will recognize.
There are two newspapers.
Two newspapers.
Yeah.
And they're in the world's smallest newspaper war. And in this town, in this town of Franklin, there's an eco-terror group, and they're trying to stop a brand new ski resort in a wilderness area that's mm-hmm. home to a wildcat called a lynx. And the way the book works is that it's kind of a detective story in which the detectives other reporters of the small town newspaper, one of the two big newspapers in town. Mm. And you basically in the book you watch them report the story, and sometimes the stuff gets in the paper, sometimes it doesn't. But as you watch them report the story, you figure out not only who's behind the eco-terror attacks, but also there's a much bigger crime going on in town having to do with this resort that they're trying to put in, and that becomes exposed as well. Mm. So yeah, one of the things I've been visiting, I went to Telluride, I've gone to some other, stopped in some other ski towns, and everybody tells me, you know, like this, you know, yes, it's set in 1993, but this could totally happen, you know, in 2025.
Yeah, I was only able to read maybe the first chapter or two, but I can tell you I was sucked right into it, and I can't wait to finish it.
There was a guy I used to work with in Aspen who said that in Aspen you write the same story three times and then you have to leave. they're still the same story over and over again. They're going to develop a new piece of land, right?
Yep, yep.
But when I was here, the big story was the Ritz-Carlton, which is now, I guess, called the St. Regis.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure once that got built, there was the next thing and the next thing. And
exactly.
The next thing.
Yeah. I recently found a newspaper in a time capsule from 1995 that was dealing with the airport expansion vote in 95, which has come back around in 2024 to be a vote.
Yeah, funny. exactly. And it is the story. I mean, I was just in Telluride and they were, you know, everyone there was telling me about there's a new development going on there. It is the story of these ski towns. And what I was trying to get at in my book there's sort of a bunch of different parts of that. One is a sort of environmental part of it that people are very sincere about and really fighting for. And then there's the people who want to build a new resort, and then there's business people, and then there's locals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all this sort of, you know, roiling mess of all these different competing mm-hmm. things. And it's always – the question always is, what kind of town do we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the core question of the book, is what kind of town does this place want to be? Well, you know, they're locals, mm-hmm. but what does that mean? Mm-hmm. They absolutely have to have the resort. It's a company town. Aspen mm-hmm. is a company town. Mm-hmm. They are. They're one business. So you have to have it. But, you know, you also want to have a quality of life.
And then one of the driving thing has a lot to do with environmental issues as well. I guess that's obviously something you can't avoid talking about around here because it's so – the environment is so omnipresent. But I guess is that an issue that has interested you as well?
Oh, yeah. I've always been really – when I was a reporter here, I was a reporter. I covered county politics, which meant that I covered – you know, if you know Pekin County, you know that it's like 80-85% federal land, which meant that I was dealing with a lot of resource management and a lot mm-hmm. of wildlife. And I got endlessly fascinated by that. And I got fascinated by, as I was writing the book, I got really interested in the eco-terror movement mm-hmm. of the what happened in the 80s and 90s to the environmentalist movement,
mm-hmm.
Where it moved from nonviolence to more violent, and they never attacked people,
mm-hmm.
But they did start attacking infrastructure and structures.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really interested in that as you know, about Earth First and the Earth Liberation Front and those groups. And so I found myself fascinated by that question of, is there such a thing as ethical or morally justified terrorism, right? I mean, is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Does it have something to do with the validity of the argument? Does it have something, mm-hmm. you know, are there rules that you can set up? I found that really fascinating as a question because I think that's got a lot of application today. We've got this real anger at Trump and the politicals, and there comes a point in every movement where people just feel frustrated
mm-hmm.
and they move beyond just sitting in or signing petitions and mm-hmm. is that justified? Is that mm-hmm. right? And I found that really interesting in the context of environmentalism in the West, where development just keeps coming,
mm-hmm.
and these folks are frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I knew when I worked in the Daily News, I knew someday I was going to write about this, it just was too great a world.
Uh-huh.
You know, the newspaper itself, the newsroom, the people that I worked with there, I loved that newspaper and I loved working there.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was author Michael Bourne talking to KDNK's Chris Hassig. His second book, We Bring You an Hour of Darkness, is available at local bookstores, including White River Books in Carbondale and Explore in Aspen, as well as online outlets. This is KDNK News.